tonight. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus tonight. We thank you for the reading of God's Word. God, as we come to a time of remembrance, God, come to a time of celebration, a time, dear God, of exaltation. Father, I pray, God, you give us the mind and the heart, Father, that was given then and now. We pray, Father, that as we partake of this Lord's Supper, God, that we would be pleasing in your sight, that each one of us tonight, dear God, would have the right respect of it, God, the right understanding, God, that we would be participants, dear God, with knowledge tonight, and Father, you'll get praise and glory for it. In Christ's praise, holy name that we pray, amen, amen. You may be seated. Two ordinances has been given to the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. The devil has distorted both. In the way of baptism, baptism is an outward picture of an inward work on every believer. It's the first step of obedience for those that are saved. Baptism, all that means tonight, which is important, it shows forth the death of the Lord. It says that you've died in Christ as you're in the baptistry and you're standing up, and as you're looking this direction, what you're saying to all the people of the Lord and even hell is, I have died in Christ. It's no longer me no more, it's Him that lives in me. I've died in Christ, and when we bury you, when you go back into the water and you go under the water, I'm buried in Christ. And so my life is no longer to be, but it's going to be His life. And then when you come up out of the water, it represents the resurrection, the new life in Christ. And so the baptism is speaking of the death of the Lord. And so I've died, and the reason I've died is because He died, amen. The reason why that I'm buried is because He was buried. The reason why I'm resurrected is because He resurrected. It all began at His death. And so it's talking about and showing forth, demonstrating the death of Christ. The second ordinance is the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, once again, is talking about and representing His death. It's talking about the blood, talking about the body. And so it is another picture, another showing, another demonstration about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have two ordinances. Both of them refer to death, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and both of them has been attacked. For example, baptism being sprinkled. Well, you can't explain the death and burial and resurrection of Christ without being sprinkled. That's not... The baptism is a immersion. Amen? You got to be submerged into water. You got to go under the water, showing forth the burial. And so we have a distortion of that all through the world. We got people who just take water and they put it on top of their forehead, or they just sprinkle them, or they do something else by baptizing a baby, that kind of nature. And so we find that baptism, people baptize people not to show forth the death of our Lord and the burial and resurrection, but for salvation. That's another distortion of what baptism is all about. We don't get baptized to be saved. We get baptized because we are saved. Amen? And so we see a distortion. The devil has tried to destroy baptism because it's an ordinance of the church. But also, on the other hand, have seen the devil has distorted the Lord's Supper by several reasons. There's a group out there that say that this is the Eucharist, right? They say that this is the actual body and the actual blood of Christ. It is not the actual blood and body of Christ. Amen? And you dice it and slice it however you want tonight. But what we're fixing to partake in a minute is going to be grape juice and unleavened bread. That's what it is. Amen? And that's all it's ever going to be, but it does represent the blood and the body of Christ. Then there's also a distortion in the, by the way, of taking the grape juice and turning it into real wine. There's many out there who take the Lord's Supper and they use real wine. Well, I can't hardly imagine that when Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says that wine is a mocker. I mean, if there's going to be anything of holiness, anything of great dedication and devotion, anything that you and I are to celebrate, we ought not use some kind of wine that's of a mocker. This is, the world mocks his death. Why does the church want to mock his death with wine that is intoxicating? And so we see how the devil tonight has, and then there's churches who just eliminate this completely all. They don't do it at all, amen? And so tonight we see the devil's attack on the ordinances tonight. One of the ordinances that we're going to talk about is the Lord's Supper. I call it the Feast of Remembrance. Amen? And in the Lord's Supper, I want you to notice a few things. Number one, I want you to notice the institution of the Feast of Remembrance. When was it instituted? I believe that's important tonight to know that. Now, he tells us this. Paul does in verse 23. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And so he's telling us when it was instituted. It was instituted on the night, friend, of the last night of our Lord's life that he ever lived. This was what instituted on that night. I don't know if you knew that or not, but the last night that Jesus ever lived, he instituted this remembrance. Amen? This Lord's Supper. I want you to notice, number one tonight, on the institution of the feast is told in Matthew chapter 26, and you would turn there, and as that Paul refers to it there in verse 23, we're going to go to it in Matthew chapter 26, and let's look at a few things and we'll continue on. Matthew 26 and verse 14, I want you to notice it was a dark night that night when the instituting of the Lord's Supper took place. It was a dark night. It was a night when the disciple betrayed him. That was a dark night. Jesus was betrayed that night. We see that in chapter 26 of Matthew in verse 14. The Bible says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, said unto them, What will you give me? I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." And then we see that that he did that here in the Scripture. The Bible talks about how they're going to catch him, or when he's going to notice that it was him, was by a kiss, and we've seen that take place. So that night when the Lord's Supper was instituted, it was a dark night. It was a disciple betrayal. Amen? Number two, I want you to notice it was a difficult night after the Jesus came, and there in chapter 26, and Jesus was making ready of the Passover. They sat down in verse 20. Jesus told them that one of them were going to betray him. Verse 26, he began to take the bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to the disciples, and the Lord's Supper was given there, instituted right there. And then the next thing you know, Jesus tells them that in verse 31, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." Talking about night now. He says, then he goes on and says, Peter of course says to him, he said, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee," in verse 33, "yet I will never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily, I say unto you that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Then the Bible says in verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. And he said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful." Now Jesus is saying this. I'm talking about the institution of the Lord's Supper. He says, "And he began to be sorrowful and heavy. Then he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. He left them and went away again, prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh to me to his disciples. He saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Let's be going beyond. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. We see that he's betrayed. What a dark night. It was a difficult night. As he come to the place in his life, Jesus, right before he's about to die, the very last night that he lived, he's going to die the next day. He looked to his disciples, the ones that he has picked and chosen, the ones that he has taught, the ones that he's loved unto the end, the ones that he has shown them his miracles and shown him their power and showed them that he is God and showed them he is the one that's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And our friend, his disciples that knew all that Jesus was and was with them in every situation, in all situations, and seen him do all the miracles. And at the time when Jesus was very sorrowful, was very at the point where he was very heavy and very grieved and even praying, let this cup pass from me if it be thy will. And boy, I tell you, a time when Jesus needed his disciples to pray with him, to support him, to comfort him, to be there on the behalf. And he went back to them, and all the times he went back to them, they were just sleeping. I mean, a very difficult night. I mean, for Jesus, it was a difficult night. I mean, he's coming to the very last night of life on this earth. And the very few that loved him, or say they loved him, and was trusting in him and believing in him, is the very few that when he needed them the best or the most, they were sleeping. What a difficult night. Oh, it was a dreadful night. The Bible says in verse 56, turn there in Matthew. If you read through that, you'll find that it was Judas in verse 49 that kissed him. And now the Bible says in verse 50, and Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? And then they took him there and they began to ask him some questions and do some things. And Jesus said, you know, listen, don't put up your swords and put up your knives and staves. We don't do that. That's not how my kingdom is. And he says in verse 53, he says, think of thou, I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the Scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? And so Jesus says, willingly went with these group of men. And then in verse 56, he says, but all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. What a dreadful night. What a dreadful night. Here Jesus was as he was coming to the Passover. And as he was coming to the Passover, he was betrayed. What a dark night that was. Oh, what a difficult night as he was coming to the place where he knew that his last night on this earth was this night. Looking to those that he loved and those that loved him, and they couldn't stay awake. Really not that much interest there. And then he comes to the place where they're taking him, and now he comes and looks about and sees his disciples, and what a dreadful thing he could see is his disciples fleeing. All he could see was the backside of them. Here Jesus alone in the hands of the Romans, in the hands of the Jewish people who were saying, crucify him, crucify him. And those that he saved and those that he loved and those that were called on him and those that he trusted have now fled. What a dreadful night. Well, then there was a denying night. Verse 69 through 75 says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came and unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. And he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that they were there. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thou speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He went out and wept bitterly. Well, what a denying night that was for Jesus. Now all I'm saying tonight is this, is we're fixing to celebrate.
And this ought to be a highlight of our Christian walk tonight, taking the Lord's Supper. I mean, it ought to be a feast of remembrance. I mean, it ought to be a high night, a high time. Well, tonight when we're about to take the blood and about to take of the body and the remembrance of that and the symbolic of that and what all that means tonight. Listen, tonight we can feel good about that. But can you ever thought tonight when it was instituted, it was a dark, difficult, dreadful, denying night for Jesus. Now you would think that He would institute this Lord's Supper on a good day. When everything was good and everything was glorious. Hey, fellas, hey, disciples, hey, Peter and John and James and over there, Tom, hey, over there, Jesus. Listen, friend, we'll tell you something. When I'm dead and gone, I want y'all to remember me, okay? But see, it's not like that. It ain't like that. See, when he instituted, and I believe Paul made a direct emphasis, a direct relation with that when he said in verse 23, into our text in chapter 11, when he said, "For I received of the Lord that which was delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus the same night." What do we mean the same night? Well, the night when it was dark. Whenever the disciple betrayed him. The night that when it was difficult when the disciples slept. The night that was dreadful when the disciples fled. When the night when it was denying, when Peter denied him. And a deadly night. The night that Jesus never lived again as He lived on that night. You see, the Bible says in verse 11, verse 23, that same night in which He was betrayed took bread. I say to you tonight, I want you to see, and I believe many times we come and we take the Lord's Supper and we just partake of the supper and we go through the thing we do and we say what we say and we do what we do, and I don't believe we ever really realize the very place and the very instituting of this Lord's Supper and the impact that it needs to make in our lives tonight. It just wasn't something Jesus said to do. It was a time of dark and difficult and dreadful. Boy, it was a time, friend, when you and I... See, in chapter 26, verse 36, He was at Gethsemane. But in John chapter 18, verse 28, it says that He went to the pavement. It was called Gabbatha, which in the Hebrew tongue means pavement. So He went from Gethsemane to Gabbatha, which was the judgment where they put judgment upon Him. And then He went from the Gabbatha, which is the pavement, to Golgotha. That was the cross. That was the place of the skull. And then He went from Golgotha to the grave. And this all happened the next day. Amen? He was arrested that night. He died the next day, and He resurrected. So I'm just saying He went from Gethsemane to Gabbatha to Golgotha to the grave. And in the midst of all that, Jesus said, "I want my people. I want my church. I want those that my blood was shed for and my body was broken for. I want them to remember me." And that's when He said, "Here's how you want you to remember me." Number two. Not only was the institution of the feast of remembrance, but I want you to notice the instruction of the feast of remembrance. I want you to notice, number one, that what He wants you to remember, what Jesus wants you to remember tonight is the person. Amen? It's the person. You know, many times tonight we remember Bethlehem because that's where He was born. Oh, we remember the miracles of Judea and of the places of where He walked on water and how he took those out of Nazareth, and we talk about a lot of the places where He's at, friend, but that's not what He said remember. We remember all the performances and all the miracles, and we can quote them and we can know them, and we can tell you the stories of the Bible, we can tell you the characters of the Bible, but that's not what He said remember. Oh, we can find out and know, friend, everything that was according to the Word of God. But friend, tonight, if we're going to take up this feast of remembrance and we're going to partake of it correctly, we've got instructions that we must remember Him. See, it's about Jesus, amen? Every message, every lesson, every song, every testimony, every word, every thought, every imagination, every single thing that proceedeth out of the church is Jesus. Not the preacher, not the people. Jesus. Jesus. Remember the person. Look what he says there in verse 24. He says, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in who? Remembrance of me. Verse 25. After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you also as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. You see, the emphasis is on me. You see, Jesus wants us tonight to remember Him. Not to remember His birth. Not to remember His resurrection. Not to remember the walk, the life. Remember the promises and the words. But remember Him. Amen? Not what He did, but who He is. Not what He said, but who He is. I believe many of people today are living off the miracles of Jesus. I believe they're living off the promises of Jesus. And they're living off the very words of Jesus and the very walk of Jesus and the very life of Jesus. But Fred, they forgot Jesus. That's why their life is empty of Jesus. They can tell you where He walked. They can tell you what He said. They can tell you what He did. But they don't know Him. You follow me tonight? See, you ought not take the Lord's Supper tonight if you don't even know. He said, remember me. Not all I did, not all I accomplished, not all I said I was going to do, and not all the promises that I gave you, but me. It kind of reminds me of whenever you're in a marriage relationship and that individual, that spouse would look to you and say, you know what, I just feel like the only reason why you want me around here is because of money. And then the other one would say, the only reason why you want me around here is because I cook for you and I wash your clothes and I clean your house and I watch your children while you go to work. And the only reason why I think you want me around here is because I keep the grass cut and I pay for your car and I give you some money so you can go buy you something. I just feel like that's all you want me for. You see, and I wonder tonight if Jesus don't feel the same. All you care about me is what I can do for you. All that you really care about me is that I did what I did on the cross of Calvary, and you claim that and you believe that, but you do whatever you want to. How about just me? How about just me? I don't care about anything else, but He said, remember me. Amen? And tonight I was trying to make the point that we've got to come to the place in our relationship with Jesus. It's not about what Jesus is doing. It's not about what Jesus said. It's not about what Jesus is going to do. It's about Jesus and Jesus alone tonight. Fall in love with Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. If He does nothing else for you for all the rest of your life, it's not because of why you gave your heart to Him. It's because of Him and Him alone. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. Amen? So Jesus is saying the instructions of the Feast of Remembrance is remember the person. Remember me. Number two, remember the provision. He says, we're going to have this Feast of Remembrance. He says, I want you to remember me first. He said, but then I also want you to remember the provision of me. He says, the first provision that he talks about is my body in verse 24. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. He said, remember that. Remember that it was my body that was broken for you. Remember that. Remember that nobody else was willing to break their body for you, but I was willing. There was nobody at all offering in all the world to come and have their body broken for you, but I am willing. And I did. Amen? And the provision that I brought to you is my body. Remember that. Remember who died for you. Remember who gave His life for you. Remember who took all the beatings and the bruisings. And remember who took the slap in the face and the spit in the face. Remember who took the crown of thorns. Remember who took the sword to the side. Remember who came down from heaven and became a man, who was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life and became the Savior of the world. Remember my body. Remember that. Remember. I'm not asking you to remember my miracles, but remember my body. You see? I'm not asking you to go around telling everybody that I walked on water, but I'm telling you that my body was broken for you. Remember whose body was broken for you. Remember that. Number two, not only to remember His person, but remember provisions and His blood. What's the next provision? The Bible says in verse 25, He says, after the same manner. He said, He took the cup, and after He supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. In remembrance of me, He said the last portion of that. The blood that was shed for you. The sin that was sending you to hell was His blood that washed your sins away. Remember the blood that gives you forgiveness of sin. Remember the blood that caused you from having a place in hell to a place in heaven. Remember the blood that changed your life. Remember the blood that caused you from coming from a sinner to a saint. Remember the blood that, friend, when you stood before God, you could not come into the presence. But now the blood is upon you. And because of the blood, now you can come into the presence of God. Remember the blood. Now you can pray and the Father will heal you. Remember the blood tonight that you don't have to die and go to hell. Remember the blood. You got a relationship here on earth. Remember the blood that God walks with you and talks with you. Remember the blood that Jesus loves you tonight. Remember the blood. Remember the blood. Remember the body. Oh, the body and the blood. He said, remember that. Well, the third thing I want you to notice tonight is not only to remember the person in the very provision, but remember the passion. Look what He says in verse 26. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do ye show the Lord's death till He come. Well, do you see the passion in our Lord right there? He said, now listen, as often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, He said, I want you to do something. He said, I want you to show. Now that word show means to proclaim or preach or declare or to teach. What do you want me to do, Lord? He says, I want you to preach, proclaim, declare, or teach the Lord's death till He comes. Hey, listen, friend, I see the passion, that the Lord's passion until His Lord's death means that He wants you to have passion as He does about Calvary. Amen! How about the cross tonight? You know, there's a preacher out here that says he don't preach on the cross, but Jesus said that I want you to show, I want you to preach and proclaim and declare and teach on the Lord's death. The Lord's death is the cross, sir. Calvary tonight ought to be what we're preaching and teaching. Calvary tonight ought to be what we are lifting up and exalting. Calvary, the cross tonight, is what we ought to be telling everybody and anybody. How you want to get born again? The cross. How you want to get right with God? The cross. How you want to go to heaven? The cross. How you want to escape hell? The cross. How you want to be with God? The cross. How you going to have a right family? A cross. How you going to walk with God? The cross tonight. The cross. Calvary. The Lord's death tonight. Jesus said, hey, that's my passion, is the cross. Not His birth. Not His sinless life. Not His resurrection. But not all the miracles, not all that He done. Not all that He came from glory unto the flesh of the man and was lived on this earth here. No. He said, listen, I have passion, it's the Lord's death. Tonight, that ought to be our passion. The Lord's death. Cross. Because see, at the cross was where the person who had provisions of the body and the blood. And the Feast of Remembrance tonight is about Jesus who provided the blood and the body at the cross. Amen? Jesus is saying tonight, I've got passion, and that's my passion, is the Lord's death. Now, I want you to notice, fourthly, in this point, He said, I want you to remember the promise The Bible says there in verse 26, till He come. You know, there's some people tonight who will take around and show around, and even in their churches tonight, or in their religious relics, or the religious cemeteries that they have where people show up, they will have Jesus on a cross called the crucifix. But the Bible says that I want you to show the Lord's death till He come, telling me that He's coming, amen? He's not on the cross. He's coming. And so what the Bible says that His promise is this, is He's not on the cross, but He's coming. And you and I tonight ought to be the one that is saying, listen, I'm going to show the Lord's death. Why? Because I know that He's coming. He's not in the grave. He's not in the cradle anymore. Amen. He's not in the grave anymore. He's not in the cross anymore. Amen. He is coming. He's coming to meet us in the air. He's coming to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. He's coming in the battle of Armageddon. But He's coming tonight. And we're going to meet Him in the air. We're going to meet Him right here. And we're going to do the work that He wants us to do. And then we're going to heaven for eternity with a Lamb. Amen. He's coming. So what are we going to do? He said, remember that. Remember the promise. I'm coming. Until I come, just keep on remembering me. Just keep on remembering me. And when I come, you won't have to remember me anymore because I'm there. Amen? I'm coming. Well, here lastly now, I want you to notice He says to remember the passion and the promise, the person and the provision, but remember the purpose. He says in verse 26, He says, for as often as you eat. As often as you eat. Now tonight, He's not asking us to remember Him in this way by of the Feast of Remembrance on a daily basis. I don't believe the Lord would have us to come every day to the house of God and take the Lord's Supper. I don't believe He'd have us do it on a weekly basis either. I don't believe He'd have us do it on a monthly basis. I don't believe He'd have us do it on a yearly basis. A decade basis. Century basis. I mean, you know, you can come up with any kind of time. But He says, as often as you do. He says, I believe He wants you to remember the purpose by putting that away. In other words, tonight, if we can come in one time a year in the Feast of Remembrance and really celebrate His death, and He's pleased, and we get moved and stirred and shaken out of our boots over it, I believe that will make Him pleased. If we can do it twice a year, we can do it 3 times a year, 4 times a year, 5 times. How many times you do it? But I know flesh, and I know men, and I know how we are. When we start doing something every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year, you're going to find yourself getting to the place where it's not that special anymore. It's just not that important anymore. I mean, it just becomes a ritual to you. It just becomes something that's not really special anymore. And Jesus is talking about purpose here. As often as you eat and drink. As often as. Well, when you do it. I'm not telling you when to do it. But when you do it, it better be special. I mean, it better be highlighted. It ought to be a celebration in your heart. It ought to be something, friend, where you can't wait to do it and you can't wait to participate in it. You can't wait to say, Lord, I remember Jesus. I remember His blood. I remember His body. I remember what took place. I remember what happened. I remember that He's coming. I remember the cross and Calvary. And I want to do it, Brother Larry. Let's do it. Nobody's begging for me to do the Lord's Supper. You know why? Because that's not the way we operate. Well, but tonight I'm saying that's the way Jesus would have us to be as often as we eat it and drink it. Amen? I mean, we ought to be biting at the bits. We ought to be saying tonight, listen, Brother Larry, I see this Lord's Supper up here, man. I can't wait. Well, I get to be partaking of the Feast of this Remembrance here. I get the Lord's Supper, and I remember Brother Larry just said, and I remember when the time when Jesus instituted this Lord's Supper, man, it wasn't good days for Him. Matter of fact, it was the last night of His life. And He was betrayed that night. He was denied that night. People fled on that night. I mean, people wouldn't stay awake on that night. He had slept on Him on that night. I mean, listen, what a night to come forth, and we are so excited about taking this Lord's Supper tonight. Can you see that? Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, that we as just people, just flesh tonight, can remember Him. Remember the purpose. Remember the purpose. Keep it holy. Keep it pure. Keep it exciting. Keep it special. Oh, don't let it just go by. Whenever you do, as often as you do, then gravitate to it. Hold on to it. Get as much as you can out of it. Oh, really just seek the Lord in remembrance of Him. That's what He's saying today. That's the very purpose of it. God, enrich me because of it. Make me holier than before. God, give me a greater hunger and thirst for You. Oh, God, use this time, this Lord's Supper, God, to bring me to the place where I can love You greater and do more for You. Well, can I say here thirdly tonight, the involvement of the feast of the remembrance. Now, is there the instruction in the very institution of it? But verses 27 through 30 tonight, and we'll close on this. Verse 27 talks about the danger of not preparing to take it. The danger of not preparing to take it. The Bible says in verse 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." The word guilty there means to be liable to a charge, to face a legal action. The word unworthy tonight means to participate with this supper or this feast without proper preparation. If you take it tonight being unsaved, tonight you are guilty of taking it unworthily. Tonight, one thing you don't want to leave out of here tonight, you don't want to leave out of here being guilty tonight of the body and the blood of the Lord. If you're unsaved tonight, you don't take this to suffer. Tonight, if you're to the place where you're uncaring about the supper, tonight, whenever you're so disconnected from His body and from His blood, tonight you're so cold and indifferent and so backslidden, and you're so divided, don't take of this supper tonight. You're so uncaring. If you're so unsaved tonight, and then tonight, if you're to the place where you're just unknowing, you don't know what this means tonight. You don't really have a grasp and a hold of who Jesus is tonight and His blood and His body and what it did for you or what it did for those that trust in Him, then boy, don't take this tonight. Because the worst thing you want to do is you want to leave out of here guilty of the death of the body of the blood of the Lord. Tonight, you don't want to take that chance. You don't want to do that. I'm talking about instructions now. I'm talking about to take and participate tonight of this and really just being part of it tonight. Number two, I noticed that not only is there the danger of not being prepared, but I noticed secondly, there's the demand to prepare before taking it. Verse 28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." See, the Lord tonight, He's very interested in each one of us taking the body and taking the blood. The bread or the cup, He calls it. He wants you to do that. Because you see that in verse 28, He says, "So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Now, the Lord tonight is not saying to any of us that if you're unsaved or if you're uncaring or if you're unknowing that I don't want you to stay in that condition. You see? What He's saying is I want you to partake of this cup tonight. And I want you to partake of this bread tonight. That's what I want. Because I want to be remembered. But you've got to examine yourself first. And that word examine means you're going to have to test your heart. That testing of your heart, the word examine means test tonight. You need to test your heart. Lord, am I saved? Lord, am I saved? Right with God. Lord, you need to test your walk. Have I been walking with God? Do I have a testimony of the Lord? Is my reputation of the Lord tonight. See, tonight you don't want to live out there like a devil and like a lost man and live out there like you're unsaved and come in here with a smile on your face like you're saved. You better test your walk. Test your heart. Amen? You better test your love tonight. Do I love one another? Is there anything that I have against anybody in this room? Is there anything at all I have odds with anybody outside this room? Is there anything at all that with man I have an issue with, I have a problem with, that I need to rectify, I need to get right first? So you need to examine yourself tonight in your heart, in your walk, and in your love. Is it well with my soul with God? Am I living right tonight? Do I have my sin forgiven? Do I have the sin, iniquity? Maybe the day, maybe yesterday, maybe the day before. Unless you need to examine yourself to prepare. Demand it now. He's demanding you to prepare yourself before you take it. Danger if you take it without being prepared. And then I want to show you here thirdly and lastly. The Bible talks about the damnation of partaking of it. He says in verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." All he's saying tonight is this: if you take of the Lord's Supper and you're not saved, and you take of the Lord's Supper tonight and you're not right with the Lord, you're not right with others, and tonight you're distant with God, you're backslidden, cold and with God, and tonight, really tonight, what you're saying is you're not taking this seriously. That's what you're saying. And that's what it means tonight when it says that you have not discerning the Lord's body, because everything about the Lord's body is serious. And it's sobering. And it's spiritual. But friend, if you take this, the damnation is this, as you have taken this not seriously, not soberly, and not spiritually. And friend, there are great damnations in that. The next verse talks about people being weak. People just being weak. Amen? Just coming and just don't have the ability to do and have the capability of going. They're talking about sickly. People who get diseased. People who get sickness because of this. And then it talks about sleeping, which means death. People have died because they took this unworthily. Damnation. Because they did not discern of the Lord's body. And I'm just trying to show you there's some seriousness involved. It's not coming up here and getting a little wafer and getting a little thing of grape juice and saying, "Take the Lord's Supper tonight." Listen, that's exactly where damnation comes from and comes to. Amen? You say, "Well, brother, I just can't hardly believe that God would make this time so serious." Well, you know what? Won't you tell Jesus on the night that He instituted this? That why are you being so serious, Lord? I mean, it's the night, friend, when the last night He saw on this earth. The next day He was crucified. That's pretty serious to me. I mean, He was denied. He was betrayed. They fled from Him. They couldn't stay awake for Him. That's pretty serious to me. I mean, listen, with somebody who is willing to come to the cross of Calvary and to get His body broken for me, that's serious, I figure. And then if He shed His blood for me, that's pretty serious. So why in return tonight will we take something like this so foolishly, so unconcerned? Just since God don't speedily do judgment, you might go years from now without God doing anything. The next thing you know, judgment comes upon you. Why? Because there was a day on a Wednesday night when you took the Lord's Supper unprepared. I don't know when God does these things, but His promises are true. They take place. Tonight I'm going to give opportunity, and now you can do is stand to your feet and heads are bowed, to come to the altar, right where you are, and examine yourself tonight and prepare yourself for this Lord's Supper. And prepare yourself in a sober and serious way now. This must be different and distinguished and divided from any other thing that we do. Tonight we celebrate Easter or resurrection. We celebrate Christmas and we celebrate Thanksgiving and we celebrate some other things tonight. But this has to be totally different and distinguished and and separate than anything else tonight. You must set this apart. You need to come tonight and let's just do business with the Lord. Just begin to bow down and begin to pray. Examine your heart. Let's take a few moments.